Turning your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is where we are going to spend the majority of our time, but I will take you on a journey through the scriptures. As today we're going to be looking at as you think about this, at the heart of the Apostle Paul, in his longing and desire to see the church as a whole, Jew and Gentile, operate as one. That they have a heart for one another. I believe as we go through this passage and this message this morning, that God, as He is doing in my heart, that God will prick your heart to look beyond yourself, to seek to meet the needs of others and to bear others' burdens. Last week, we had a work trip up at Sacandaga, and the verse that was chosen as the verse for the week was Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, and it goes like this: "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'd like to read the first four verses. And at the initial read, you may, as I did, enter into it with some presuppositions. That is, some things that we go into it and say, okay, this is what it's saying, this is what it means, now let's move on to something else. We do that with Scripture, and invariably I understand that. But I believe that there is more here than what meets the eye, or what captures the mind immediately. I believe there are some things that we need to understand about Paul, understand about these churches that are mentioned, understand about the practices that he is speaking of. So, with eyes wide open, let's read 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. You can follow along. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me." What do we see here? Well, really the basis of all of this text is a collection that the Apostle Paul is taking for the saints in Jerusalem. Now, let's do a little bit of thinking about what the world was like back in those days. This is the days of the Roman Empire. This is the world that is ruled by Caesar. The early church began where? In Jerusalem. Began in Jerusalem under intense persecution. We see that in the book of Acts with Saul. Stephen was the first martyr. And as a result of the persecution, the Bible tells us that they were scattered abroad. We also see that the apostles, especially the apostle Paul, begins to take the gospel around the Roman Empire, the known world at that time, ministering the gospel, planting churches, and so God's truth was spreading and churches were popping up all over the Roman Empire. What we're seeing in this text is we're seeing the Apostle Paul's heart. Let's not forget where we began. Let's not forget Jerusalem and what took place there. For indeed, we as Gentiles, and I'm assuming most of us are Gentiles, you may be Jewish here today, and I'm so glad you're here. But if we're Gentiles here, Christianity has its root and its beginning in Jerusalem. This is where Jesus in Palestine, in that area of the world, Jesus ministered there. He didn't go beyond that. This is the place where the church first started and thousands were saved. This is the place from which the apostles were launched into the world. Now, concerning this collection and why the Apostle Paul is doing it, I want us to just understand a little bit more. We're going to look at several scriptures as a background to this. I want us to begin in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, what we see is kind of a model or a basis for this collection that we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. As we look at this, I'm going to be using this term collection frequently. And when we think of collection in the context of churches, we usually think of offering plates, correct? We usually think of collecting money. I haven't been able to truly figure this out, whether this is strictly money or if there was goods involved. And perhaps you can do your own research on this. But I believe there is room to allow, as we look at these varying different collections in the scriptures, there is room to allow for it to be more than money. Especially as we will see the context of famines involved. And of what good is money if there is no food to buy? That's neither here nor there, but something you can spend time on. But something to think about. Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. This is in Antioch of Syria, which is just, well, we know where Syria is, just northeast of Israel. And Antioch, and this is where Saul and Barnabas are, and one of the first churches outside of Palestine to be planted. Verse 27, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So what are we seeing here? There is a prophet that comes from Jerusalem and tells the church in Antioch, where Saul and Barnabas are, that there is going to be a great famine across the world. History points to there is a famine that is recorded during these days. And as a result of that, what happens in the body of Christians there in Antioch? They get energized and they want to give. And so it says they give according to their ability to what? Send relief to Jerusalem. Now immediately I want us to begin, I believe God's word wants us to begin to see this attitude that it's not just about us here in Laurel Grove. It's not just about us in Antioch and, oh well, you in Jerusalem, you got to fend for yourselves. There is this heart and attitude that we need to look out for one another, whether it is across the street or around the world. We are united in Christ. And so you see this collection being taken and it is delivered. Look at chapter 12 of Acts, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. And when they had fulfilled their ministry, what ministry was that? Taking this gift to the saints in Jerusalem. And so we see that it was a model of what we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I go to Galatians because, as we saw in our text in 1 Corinthians 16, Galatia is mentioned. And what is it that Paul might have been saying here, instructing this church in Galatia? Well, we don't have a direct reference to a taking a collection for the saints, but we see these principles. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Here is a mention we are to remember the poor. And then chapter 6, as we've already looked at, but I want to review again. Chapter 6 of Galatians, verses 2 and 10 say, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We see that there is a principle for caring for the poor. And we did a study on that on Sunday night several months ago. And it's amazing how the Bible instructs us who are believers in God to care for the poor. We are to bear one another's burdens, and we are to be people who do good, especially to the household of faith. Following Galatians, we then would have the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that we just read. And what I'm doing is kind of chronologically marching through the mindset of this collection, this perspective of a collection in the New Testament. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is where Paul first instructs the church in Corinth, this is what I'm doing. I'm taking a collection for the saints in Jerusalem. Get started. And we're going to look more at the details of that to come. But following that, we see 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So I trust you're following along here, the chronological order of these passages as Paul, I believe, would have written them, and see what he mentions about this collection. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace? That's the collection for the saints in Jerusalem. I speak, verse 8, not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So you can see Paul's reference here. I've told you this a while back and you got started. Now let's finish it. Because I'm coming and I'm going to collect this and take it back to Jerusalem when I go. So here he's exhorting them to complete what they started. Now go to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, believed to be written very close to the time of 2 Corinthians. Paul has not yet been to Rome, but he is writing to the believers that are there. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia. Now we need to, as studiers of the Word of God, we need to know our geography. Macedonia. Macedonia is the area above Greece, and it's the northern part of Greece, essentially. And Achaia would be the southern part of Greece. If your Bible has a map, great, use it. And you'll see these two regions of the world, and this was where Paul was traveling through and mentioning. For it hath pleased them, on verse 26, Romans 15, 26, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. What are we seeing here? We are seeing Paul urging these churches to give to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Then the book of Acts records for us Paul's travels. In Acts chapter 19, verse 21, he's recorded his travel to Jerusalem. On the way, he stops by Macedonia, Greece, Achaia, and then he goes by Ephesus and the island there at Miletus, and he meets with the people. So I want you to look at Acts chapter 20 and notice what he says in Acts chapter 20. So Acts 19 and 20 kind of chronicle his journey then to pick up the collection and then go to Jerusalem. And this took time, years, to accomplish all of this. Just so you, this is not like jumping on Delta and getting there tonight. I mean, this takes time to accomplish all of this. Acts chapter 20, notice his heart in verse 22. He's speaking to a group of elders. It's going to be the last time he's going to see them. And he says, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." He's going not knowing what he's going to encounter. And then in verse 35, look at what he says. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." You know, I really think that the context of such a statement here is that he is bringing with him this great collection for the saints in Jerusalem, the poor, the weak in Jerusalem. And he is helping these Ephesian elders to understand this is the principle. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. As we kind of see some of the basis of what Paul is referring to, what is it that we can learn from this passage? We can understand that the saints in Jerusalem were in great need. Whether it was because of a famine, or whether it was because of severe persecution from the Jews, whether it was because of severe taxation, both by the Jews and by Rome. We don't know exactly why they were poor and in need, but we know that the Apostle Paul felt that they were in such great need that he wanted to ask the churches of the world, the Roman Empire, to contribute and to help them. So he's taking this collection for the saints. This is a collection not just to help anybody. This is a collection for the saints. Now, you know, in a lot of churches today, they have what's called senior saints. When we think of senior saints, we think of what? I have a herald up here. We typically will think of the older folks in our midst, correct? Now, is that saints? Are they saints? Well, not all older folks are saints. You know what? A saint in the scripture is someone who has been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a holy one. It is one who is set apart. It's not a distinguishing of age. It's a distinguishing of standing before God. And this was a collection for the saints. And so as Paul is going around and he's asking these churches to give, he is asking them to give to one of their own, to people who are just like them, saints, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are in need, who need help. And the principle we're seeing here, and I mention it again, is listen. It's not all about you. Look beyond yourself. And remember that the church of Jesus Christ is greater than what is within these four walls. And it is greater than what is within this community and this county. It reaches to the far parts of the world. And as I studied this passage, it pricked my heart to take an ownership of us all. To say, you know what, we're all a part of this together. How often do you hear of churches around the world in desperate need? I was reminded recently of the earthquakes in Ecuador. We have some missionaries the Duvals that ministered amongst us. They have gone to Ecuador, and that as soon as they arrived this last time, you know, less than a week later, I think the earthquakes happened. Now, you know, is that such a thing that the earthquake only hits the rebellious and sinners? Or did the earthquake hit all the people? Were there believers in churches that were hurting and in desperate need? Certainly. You know, it's just this thought, you know, we can look at that and we're so far removed from Ecuador. We didn't feel the earthquake. We don't feel the poverty and the lack of clean water. We don't know all of that. And so it is easy for us to sit back and say, I'll pray. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. When in reality, they are in need for more. They are in need for substance. You know, this is a picture here that the Apostle Paul is not just telling this church to pray for people. Pray for these saints. That is not in the text. He's not telling them to pray for them. He's telling them to give to them. So now concerning the collection for the saints, it was for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. All right. None of us like to be told what to do. Especially in this context of giving. Have you ever sat in a church and you were told to give by a person, a man? Now, what's Paul doing here? He's telling them to give. So what's the difference? Well, last I checked, he was an apostle. And as an apostle, he has the authority of Jesus Christ to declare revelation, true revelation, God's truth from God to the people. I don't have that apostle title, nor name, nor authority. I have the authority of the Word of God. And as the preacher of the Word of God, I declare to you its truth, much of which the apostles themselves wrote. And here what we're seeing is the apostle giving order to give. I love how I can hide behind the Word of God. Now, here he is saying, give, you are to do this. Now, whenever we're told to do something, our natural inclination is sometimes to rebel. How dare you tell us to do something? Shouldn't we do it from the heart? Shouldn't we have a want to? You know, us as parents, when we're parenting, we're often told you've got to parent the heart of your child. Yes, absolutely. But you know, a lot of that involves telling them what to do. And so God does that with us. If you want to know heart, you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In fact, I think it's good we look at this, because you want to know what heart is behind giving. These are just a few verses that Paul gives to the same church about this same subject. This is the second letter that he has written to them. And he is seeking to clarify more about this giving idea, and he wants them to understand the heart behind it. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll pick up verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Whereof you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now here we get into some attitude issues. Covetousness? Sure. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give. Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make abound towards you, make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know, we so often have a negative attitude about giving. You know, we look at preachers in a negative form often if they speak on giving. And it can be done in a wrong manner. I agree with that. But the Word of God speaks of it. And we do well to understand it and to study it. And so we see that it was an instruction given to the saints in Corinth, and they were to give towards the need of the saints in Jerusalem. We also understand that this was an order or a command. That's the tone that the Apostle Paul is giving here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Under the authority that he has as an apostle, he is instructing them in this manner. Now, verse 2, as we look at verse 2, this is giving an instruction on how they were to do this. How? Let's keep in mind that this is probably, for most of them, the first time that they have really encountered such a request. How are we supposed to go about giving to those that are in need, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem? How are we to do that? And Paul gives that answer in verse 2. This is what he says. He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. First of all, what he does is he instructs them to make it a priority. Make it a priority. Looking at there, he says, upon the first of the week. This is a reference, I believe, to Sunday, which is the first day of the week. For the Jewish people, they had Sabbath. Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. Sunday being the first, this was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. This was the day that Paul spoke to the believers at Troas when the disciples came together to break bread. So we see some examples, and tradition tells us that this was the day, and the Word of God tells us that this was the day that the believers in the early church were gathering together to break bread, to celebrate the Lord's Supper. This, in this text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, is in no way an order telling the church they have to meet and do church, quote unquote, on Sundays. What it is telling them is to make a priority in regards to this collection that they do it the first day of the week. So he's giving them a time frame, a measurable time frame. In other words, when the first day of the week comes, you wake up that day, you know one thing you've got to do, and that is to set aside some of what God has prospered you for the poor in Jerusalem. Another thing that you need to understand about this verse is that this is dealing with individuals. These are individuals he's speaking to. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, that's pretty specific language. He's saying, now every one of you that are in the earshot of my letter that's being read right now, every one of you, that's who I'm talking to, you lay by him, lay by you in store. That's treasure it up. You'll see that word translated to treasure in different areas. It's to store it up, to save it. Because remember, Paul isn't coming for quite some time, but he says, do so regularly so that when I do come, there is a great storehouse ready for these things. One thing that I love about this is what it does is it takes giving and it makes it doable. Doesn't it? Think about it. You guys you encounter tough financial times. Maybe you're in one right now. And to give financially is a hardship and a burden. And you come and you say, boy, I would love to give to this ministry or to that. But you know, right now, I can't give much. You know, what do we see here? Every first day of the week, put aside just a little bit of how God has prospered you. And that's just going to build. This is a great principle here of doing a little bit as you can, but making it a priority to do it. Do it. And he says the first day of the week, because I think that's drawing it out and saying you're starting your week with this in your mind. We're meeting together because it just does seem that the New Testament church met on Sundays. Seems that way. So you're going to meet together. And in incorporation with that, each of you lay this aside for this collection. The phrase there, as God hath prospered him. I would the word God there, if you have the King James Version, is in italics. And I would prefer to translate it as he is being made to prosper. Now, certainly God is the one who is doing that. But I do want us to understand that Paul wants these people to not just give everything and become poor paupers. Give as you are being prospered, as God is prospering you. You know what that does is to you and I is to cause us to really think about how is God prospering me in my life? How am I being made to prosper? In what way? What does that look like? As I think about it in my life, this is one thing I'm trying to teach my children, is I'm trying to communicate with them the many, many things that God gives to us as a family. And, you know, not a week goes by where something isn't dropped off at our door, or whether, you know, check is received in the mail, or whatever it might be. And, you know, God is prospering and he's giving graciously unto us. And you know what? It is good to communicate with my children that God is prospering us. But you know what? That's not balanced if we are not also communicating to our children that in the same manner we are to be giving. And that our family gives and allows what God has put within our hands to go out to help others. What a great challenge to me as a daddy to make sure that we are balanced with that. You know what? This is manageable. This is doable for all of us. And notice there is no specific amount said here. There's nothing that says you have to do this much or this percentage. Don't walk away afraid of such a thing, but begin to put into practice this heart of giving. And he tells you how to do it, how to make it doable, just a little bit every week. As God is prospering you, set it aside, lay it in store, and when the time comes, you're going to have it to give. You're going to have it to give. This was what Paul was instructing this church. Verse 3, and when I come, he says, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Well, what is it that we see in this verse that is of value to us today? I see the authority of the church. And I love how Paul gives the authority to the church and says, listen, you take this collection, but you know what? I desire some among you to join me in delivering it. Who are they? You, church. You approve of them. You prove them. You write some letters, and so that when we walk into town in Jerusalem that day, we have these letters that we can present to these saints, and they can read these letters, and they can look at these Corinthian believers and say, thank you. You know, this is something that we lack sometimes, is the personal aspect of giving, especially with missions. You know, today we can do it electronically. The mission board doesn't even have to see our check. It's just all done electronic. You know, what about this picture of a face, a person going with the gift and delivering it? You see, it's personal. And that's this heart that the Apostle Paul is seeking to convince the Corinthians of. The church, we're all together, and we need to be personal. And so approve some among you to go with me. Write letters that say these individuals are approved of us. They walk with God, and so they deliver this gift unto you. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So Look beyond yourselves. Have a heart to give to those in need. The specific principle in this passage is to the saints. I'm not saying we shouldn't give to anyone else, but what is taught here in the context is to giving to the saints, believers that are in Jerusalem. Paul is seeking to establish a precedent for all churches to look beyond themselves and to meet the needs of other believers around the world. How are we doing with that? How are you doing with that? You see, this is a you and us kind of thing. You are the givers. We are the givers, individuals. But the church is the one that takes it and with approval of some, sends it out. How are we doing? How are you doing with this? Are you making your giving a priority? Do you have a plan? Are you regular in your giving as God gives to you? One of the most profound lessons in regards to into this idea of giving and money that my wife and I learned early on was that all money is God's money. Really, everything is God's. It belongs to Him. He's the ultimate owner. And that has gone a long way in helping us understand that when I cash my paycheck at the beginning of every week, that what God is doing is He is allowing His money to flow through us. Sobering, isn't it? To realize that He is entrusting us with this. And so the principle is make giving a priority to the work of God and to helping those that are in need. And do so regularly. Paul desires that we as a church have this kind of heart. A love for the saints around the world. A love that in one way is expressed through giving. As your pastor, I would like to affirm in you this heart. I do observe you giving. Now, my observation is small. I don't know who gives what and how much you give, but I know that God is prospering this assembly. And the only way it's done is through you and me. And I want to affirm that in you. But I also want you to understand what God's word says here. And may we never lose sight of the greater church beyond these walls. May we not become so in-focused that we forget to focus beyond. May we be faithful in this with an attitude of looking beyond ourselves. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you have given. And Lord, I rejoice in studying this passage with my brothers and sisters in Christ as we have banded together as a church to proclaim the gospel. And Lord, you know what is in our storehouse. You know what has been laid aside for your work. I pray, Lord, that we would be ready and eager to give. Whether it be individually or corporately as a church, truly it is more blessed to give than to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.